This is Radio Superior 1947, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1947. This is a true story of our past. Step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the land of beautiful lakes, station KUWS. It's 6 o'clock, Monday, April 14th, 1947. Jack McKenna saying, "Know thyself when tempted to do something you shouldn't." That's know, as in N-O.
It should be know, K-N-O-W, when not to give bad puns.
Funny face Lou Martin is standing by with the 6 o'clock news. Rapid Ray has the opening of the baseball season with the first Negro player, and we have labor news and views and the best doggone music from the 1947 hit parade.
You're looking dapper today.
Oh, my socks even match.
And your cologne makes my eyes water.
The 6 o'clock news is brought to you by Superior Clothing Company's Spring Sale. With raincoats for $6.95 and rubbers for $1.95. Superior Clothing at 1202 Tower Avenue. Good evening, Lou.
Good evening, Jack, and good listeners. The Centralia mine disaster takes 111 lives. The nationwide telephone strike continues, and the first ship of the season arrives in the Twin Ports. We begin our world report from Centralia.
This is Max Hall in Centralia, Illinois. The final words of 12 miners who scrawled in darkness on pages torn from a foreman's time book were published today. The notes were found in the last group of Expansion Mining Company's 111 victims who were found Saturday morning. They lived a possible 15 hours after the blast. Out of respect for their families, we are not going to use any of the miners' names in these touching, tragic goodbyes. Quoting one miner, "To my wife, it looks like the end for me. I love you, honey, more than life itself. If I don't make it, please do the best you can and always remember and love me, honey. You are the sweetest wife in the world. Goodbye, honey, and Dickie." Another addressed to two boys, quoting now, "Be good boys, please your father. Oh Lord, help me," end quote. Another quoting again, "My dear wife, goodbye. Name baby Joe, so you can have a Joe. Love all, Dad." The investigation into this mining tragedy continues. In Centralia, Illinois, I'm Max Hall. Come in, Washington.
This is Washington, Lyle C. Wilson, United Press. The CIO promised today to throw its effective cooperation into the nationwide telephone strike as the tie-up entered its second week without any sign of a break. Elaborate negotiations set up here to set the pace for bargaining conferences of Bell System units all over the country failed to bear fruit in the first week. The striking unions contend that AT&T has refused to bargain on their 10 nationwide demands and scores of local issues. The 10 demands made include a $12 weekly pay increase, higher pensions and longer vacations, union security, and dues checkoff. The union has offered to arbitrate local issues. In Washington, this is Lyle C. Wilson. Come in, New York.
This is New York, Jack Bell reporting. The man who led the America First isolation movement before America's entry into World War II has a new view on the world. Colonel Charles Lindbergh says this nation must help rebuild Western civilization, even though it may require the use of military force. He says in a rocket atomic age, the welfare of other nations is important to the United States. Lindbergh says, quoting now, "In years past, we Americans could live securely behind our own defenses, but now no earthly distance is adequate defense against the latest weapons of science." His remarks come on the anniversary of his historic New York to Paris flight 20 years ago. Lindbergh replied that he is not interested in anniversaries in New York. This is Jack Bell.
A British press release from Jerusalem today announced that the refugee ship Guardian, with 2,400 uncertified Jewish immigrants from Europe, has been boarded off Tel Aviv. The boarding ship met some opposition, but other details are not known at this hour. New York's Roman Catholic Archbishop Francis Spellman declared today, and we quote now, "We set apart and dedicate this portion of America to be a temple of peace." The Archbishop's remarks came at the East River, where the new United Nations headquarters will be built. Cardinal Spellman gave the invocation at a ceremony which Mayor William O'Dwyer handed to U.N. Secretary Trigvi Lee, the deed for 7 acres of Manhattan. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:08. Jack McKenna has these words from Superior Clothing.
You interested in a raincoat?
Well, they're only $6.95. Even you can afford that. Rain hats, $1.29. These are all things from the Superior Clothing Company at 1202 Tower Avenue. They also have hip boots, $6.95 to $8.95. And knee boots, $3.95. And work rubbers, $1.98. Oh, there are so many here, I can't go over them all, folks. You'll have to go in and see for yourself. At Superior Clothing Company, 1202 Tower Avenue. Where else? In Superior.
The 1947 shipping season got off to a fast start in Superior today. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has the story.
The ore carrier A.A. Augustus steamed through the Superior entry at 1:02 this afternoon, the first ship of the season. The Augustus of the Hutchinson fleet beat out 13 other Great Lakes carriers which were headed to the Twin Ports, including the J.J. Sullivan, the William G. Mather, and the Champlain, which came in a few hours after her. Captain Arthur Christensen of Duluth is the master of the Augustus. He says the trip upbound from Sault Ste. Marie was uneventful after leaving the ice of Whitefish Bay on Lake Superior's far eastern shores. The Coast Guard icebreaker Mackinac is working to break the ice there to free several steamers destined toward the head of the lakes. A Great Lakes mariner for 31 years, this is the first time Captain Christensen was on the first ship to open the Duluth Superior shipping season. Duluth officials, including Mayor George W. Johnson, had been waiting at the Duluth Pier, but ice blocked the Minnesota entry, so the Augustus went through the Wisconsin entry. On hand to welcome Captain Christensen was Superior Association of Commerce President Olaf Johnson, Norman Olson, Chairman of the First Ship Committee, and City Manager W.J. Deegan. Lou?
A state senator and newspaper editor are tangling over communism. John Weingard reports from the state capitol.
The editor of the Capital Times challenged Republican State Senator Gettleman of Milwaukee to repeat outside the Senate chamber allegations he made against the newspaper. Editor William F. Jew was denounced Friday by Gettleman for carrying a full-page ad for the Communist Party in the Thursday's editions. Gettleman says he believes in free speech, but says the ad was full of lies. In a front-page letter addressed to the senator, Mr. F. Jew declared that the same advertising appeared in the New York Herald Tribune and the New York Times, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, and 15 other newspapers. F. Jew accused Gettleman of hiding behind legislative immunity while making accusations. In Madison, this is John Weingard speaking.
The Superior City Council held its annual organizational meeting last night. New councilmen include Norman Olson and Clyde Sullivan, with A.D. Weldon re-elected council president. The council said goodbye to Mrs. Dorothy Banks, who didn't seek re-election. And finally, Jack, Gordon High School senior and guest won the Douglas County Beekeepers Association poster contest. She'll receive $5 prize money. Superior State Teachers College art teacher Miss Jane Renstrand, Miss Mabel Hard, and Miss Mabel Olson with the Superior School Districts were judges. The theme was honey as food.
I can think of a lot of ways those words can go together. Honey, would you get me some food? Would be my favorite. Thanks, Lou Martin. A honey of a newsman. Let's check the forecast now for this Monday evening, April 14th, 1947. Partly cloudy and colder tonight with a low of 28 degrees. That's enough to cool off anyone's spring fever. But tomorrow, expect April showers with a high of 42. Oh boy, It's music time now, however. Let's start things off with Professor Kay Kaiser and his College of Musical Knowledge. Here's the Woodpecker Song on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Oh, that's the Woody Woodpecker song. Yeah, he's a pecking it all day long. He pecks a few holes in a tree to see if a redwood's really red. And there's nothing to him on the tiniest whim to peck a few holes in your head. Oh, that's the Woody Woodpecker's tune. Makes the other woodpeckers swoon. Though it doesn't make sense to the doll and the dance and the lady woodpeckers long for. That's the Woody Woodpecker song.
Yes, folks, that was Kay Kaiser and the Woodpecker Song on station KUWS. Here's an important announcement from the people of the Douglas County Christmas Seal Chest X-Ray Unit. They'll be testing people for tuberculosis this week. Tomorrow and Wednesday, the X-Ray Unit will be at East High School, then Thursday at the Labor Temple, and Friday you can go to the post office for testing. Everyone is encouraged to get tested. And boys and girls, here's safety advice from our friend Reddy Kilowatt at Superior Water, Light, and Power Company. Now that spring is here, remember to fly kites away from electrical wires. Don't climb poles to recover your kite. Use dry cotton string, and don't use metal or wire on your kites like Benjamin Franklin did. Good advice to avoid a shocking experience. And here's a great number from Artie Shaw. This is Frenzy on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Thank you.
Artie Shaw and his orchestra with Frenzy on station KUWS.
It's time for labor news and views with Jay Fisher. That Centralia mining accident was terrible.
Accidents are for kids who spill their milk. Ask me if this was an accident. For cry IDs, disasters could be avoided. Look, man, right after the explosion, the government steps in, after the explosion, mind you, and closes 518 mines as unsafe. Why do 111 men have to die before they do something about it? You ask why is mining the most dangerous industry in the country?
Tell it, brother.
If it weren't for the United Mine Workers, brothers and sisters, I doubt the government would have ever stepped in. That's why I'm proud to be a union member, and I want to send a big slap on the back to my brothers and sisters at the Duluth Building Trades. They've started a Wear Your Union Button campaign. Why, you ask?
Why?
They want to remind folks about Union One improvements in the safety and working conditions. You ask if I'm wearing my union button, I'm proud to do it.
Proud enough to bust your button?
Union busting, you say? Say, you ain't one of those Pinkertons, are you? Because, brother, if you are...
No, not a Pinkerton. Jack's okay, Jay.
Well, if Lou Martin vouches for a fella, he must be okay. We union types don't like Pinkertons, you better believe it. And some of the high and mighty folks have said all the higher wages we've been striking for since the war ended would lead to economic bust. Did it happen in 1946, you ask? The Wall Street Journal says the leading 587 companies showed a profit increase of 43% last year over 1945. You ask if I have anything more? You bet your bottom dollar I do. The unions around town are collecting for the cancer drive, so if you got an extra 6 bits, put it in a plate.
Why would I want to donate to getting cancer?
You sure he's not a Pinkerton? We don't like Pinkertons.
It's a cancer prevention drive. Jack is rather literal.
Oh, I didn't realize. Sorry, pal. I'll contribute to that fund drive, too, if you like.
Thank you, Superior Federation of Labor editor Jay Fisher.
Ray's in next with sports and news about that Negro ball player.
If baseball had a union, Negroes wouldn't have had to wait so long to get into the majors. We're all brothers and sisters in the union's eye.
Once again, amen, brother. Here's Johnny Mercer and a good union member. On to Atchison, Topeka, and to Santa Fe on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Do you hear that whistle down the line? I figure that it's engine number 49. She's the only one that'll sound that way on the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe. See the old smoke rising round the bend. I reckon that she knows she's gonna meet a friend. Folks around these parts get the time of day. From the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe, here she comes. Ooh, hey Jim, you better get the rig. She's got a list of passengers that's pretty big, and they'll all want lifts to Brown's Hotel, 'cause lots of them been traveling for quite a spell, all the way from Philadelphia, on the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe.
All aboard!
Let her rip, let her rip, Mr. Engineer. Gotta go far away from here. While the man at the fire shovels on the coal, stick your head out the cab, watch the drivers roll. See the towns and the roads go whizzing by. Fare thee well, Laramie, Albuquerque, hi. Yes, sirree, here we are going all the way.
Once we quit till we hit California. Yeah.
you better get the ring. She's got a list of passengers that's pretty big, and they'll all want lifts to Brown's Hotel, 'cause lots of them been traveling for quite a spell.
All the way from Philadelphia,
on the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe.
Johnny Mercer chugging along on the Atchison, Topeka, and Santa Fe. Hey, hi, Ray.
Hiya, Jake. I hear Joe is giving you advice for the lovelorn.
Joe has a secret weapon for spring fever.
Well, be careful of Joe's secret weapon. It could mean he's had too much caffeine again.
Look at this book. It's called Love and Courtship and Marriage, a true guide of the modern art of making love.
The art of wooking, winning, and wedding, or lovemaking solved. What's wooking?
That's wooing. You should have seen Lou's face when I handed him the book. He dropped it like it was a red-hot coal.
Well, just about every word on the cover of that book would make Lou blush.
With his red hair, he had a completely red head. All right, folks, here's Rapid Ray Paulson with the sporting news.
Thanks, Jake, I think. And fans of the sporting world, the Stanley Cup Finals have the dashing young Toronto Maple Leafs leading the Montreal Canadiens 2-1 in the best-of-7 contest. The Canadiens hope the return of right winger Maurice Richard, who missed the game after being slashed last week, will help them even the series tonight. President Harry S. Truman will throw out the first ball today at Griffith Stadium in D.C. Although old Harry might not have as much mustard on his fastball as Bob Feller, he'll settle back and have some peanuts and hot dogs with all the mustard he likes once the game gets underway. Of course, lefty Bob Feller will make $80,000 this year. And Mr. Truman, the lefty from Missouri, will pull down $75,000. So Feller should have a better fastball than the president. But the big, big, big news is that a Negro will play in a Major League Baseball game for the first time this century. Brilliant UCLA Negro star Jackie Robinson will make history with Branch Rickey's Brooklyn Dodgers when he walks onto the diamond as the Bums' first baseman. The first player of his race in 50 years is a good bet to stick with the Dodgers. Jackie insists he won't be nervous when he steps out on Ebbets Field. But, folks, you couldn't blame the Negro rookie if he had a case of first-game jitters. Meanwhile, some good news about the great Bambino. Vacationing in Miami Beach after his recent illness, Babe Ruth says he feels fine. He played 9 holes of golf, plans to play more before returning to New York. Let's hope the best for the Sultan of SWAT. This is Rapid Ray Paulson reminding you that everyone loves a good sport. Jake?
Thanks, buddy. Let's swing and sway with Sammy Kay and the Tennessee Waltz on the Martin and McKenna Show.
I was dancing with my darling to the Tennessee Waltz, when an old friend I happened to see. I introduced him to my loved one, and while they were waltzing, my friend stole sweetheart from me. I remember the night and the Tennessee Waltz. Now I know just how much I have lost. Yes, I lost my little darling the night they were playing.
Swingin' Sammy Kay and the Tennessee Waltz on station KUWS.
I'd appreciate it if you kept that book of yours in a brown paper wrapper. What if Harry saw that book?
You'd be in trouble.
Me?
Sure. She'd make you read it. She'd probably quiz you on it. Take page 28, for example. The chapter on flirtation.
I'm not listening.
Let's jump ahead to page 72. The Art of Kissing.
Not listening.
As in all other demonstrations which proceed from a heart filled with tender emotions, kissing may be a source of annoyance, danger, or exquisite rapture. The touch of lips should always be delicate, gentle, and hesitating.
If you look down a couple of paragraphs, you'll see where the book says, "Never embrace a loved one in public unless it's a greeting or farewell kiss." And even then, it should be done sparingly.
That's right. Almost word for word. You sly dog, you.
I told you I'm not a prude, but just there are times and places for everything. So my favorite part is page 95 under General Hints. Woman's is the empire of the heart. They rule by obedience, conquer with retreat, and overcome by submission.
I like page 96 about arguing. The last word is the most dangerous of infernal machines. Husband and wife should no more struggle to get it than to take possession of a lighted bombshell.
You've read A True Guide to Wooing, too?
Sports guys do more than read the baseball box scores.
Anyway, I'd just beware of any advice provided by Joe.
His tendency for balderdash keeps him a bachelor and drives away women like weak old socks.
I don't think the book has a chapter about socks. That's it, folks. Stay tuned for Inner Sanctum, the Joan Davis Show and the Lux Radio Theater Hour. We'll be back, fair warning. Same time, same place on your radio dial. The good Lord willing and our spring fever is cured, that is. For Lou, then, this is Ray. I don't even know who I am. For Lou and Ray, then, this is Jack McKenna wishing one and all a good night.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1947, an original production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Performances by Paul Guggenheimer, Pat Kelly. All events reported on Radio Superior 1947 are actual accounts from the Superior Evening Telegram. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.